Hey, Chris Manning here from Lockdown Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to recap Cavs 76ers, talk about Jalen Green, and talk about the return of Kevin Love. That's all coming up today on Lockdown Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Osmond steps into a long-distance jumper. Allen to the bucket. He crushes it home.
Off to Garland for three. He knocks it down.
Drummond toward Valanciunas. Finds a cutter in Okoro, and Okoro thunders it home.
By Kyrie. Sexton got it back. Nance for the tie. He knocks it down.
Love hands it off the Sexton feed. By seven.
And Cleveland, this is for you.
Evan, we're here on Thursday night after Cleveland played Philly. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. You know, all things considered, this was an ugly loss for the Cavs. They lost by 20 points. The third quarter woes came back to bite them again, but I'm not really too upset about this loss for once. I'm usually frustrated when the Cavs kind of get embarrassed like this. Yes, this wasn't a great Colin Sexton game. This wasn't a great, was not at all a great Darius Garland game. But I think getting Kevin Love back was just really fun to see. I know he only played 20 minutes, but I'm not too upset about this loss. How are you?
Good. You know, the loss is what it is. I think, you know, I think there's, I have some questions, I think, structurally about the team, big picture, but overall, I think this game was sort of fun. I think the first half in particular was one of the more fun halves of Cavs basketball that we've had in quite a bit of time. We'll dive into all that game and more, just so everyone knows. If anything sounds a little different, if it sounds a little less quality than normal, we're just both recording in little different circumstances due to some things, and we will hopefully be back to normal, at least on my end, next week, and we'll figure this out so I'm not recording in my living room once again. But Evan, this game, 114-94, 76ers win. You had Shake Milton led the 76ers with 27 points. No Joel Embiid, obviously. Seth Curry had 19. Ben Simmons only had 5, but had 13 boards and 5 assists. Leading the way for Cleveland, Colin Sexton, 24, I think including 10 or 12 in the third quarter. Kevin Love had 13 in his return. Isaiah Hartenstein had 12 off the bench. Dean Wade had 16 and 8 off the bench. And Darius Garland had 6 points and 8 assists. Oh, sorry, 8 started because they went Kevin, as people made a lot of that joke about Kevin Love and budget Kevin Love or whatever. Jedi Osmond returned as well. There's a lot of stuff we can dive into, but let's do our awards. Where do you? It's kind of hard to, I guess, pick an MVP, but for me, it's just Kevin Love.
Yeah, my pick. Kevin Love makes a lot of sense. He looked really good, and I know he only played 20 minutes, and he scored all of his points in the first quarter. But I kind of tweeted this and alluded to this, and so this is something JV shared with us before the season started, and something he's kind of like pounded home. Like they're taking examples from Denver and Miami, where they run their plays and their offense through their bigger guys, and Kevin is the biggest guy now, quote unquote, because Andre Drummond's gone. But the Cleveland's formula is to run the offense through Kevin and Larry when Kevin is resting or off the floor. And he really got a good sample of that tonight. Like, he had 13 points. He looked sharp. He was shooting threes. And, like, that's credit to you, Chris. You pointed out the fact that, like, when Kevin Love comes back, naturally the Cavs will take more threes. He took 6 tonight. But also, the 3 assists were nice. The 4 rebounds were nice, too. Like, this was a good game, good return game for Kevin Love. The Cavs shouldn't press it. I think 20 minutes should be his cap for a little while, and then they slowly just up that take and just kind of ride out to the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, interesting with him that he came out really firing. Like, he was just like, I'm back, and I'm just going to fire off shots. Like, there was no hesitation for him in taking shots, and he looked pretty good. You know, he even had some good defensive moments, you know?
He wears number 0, and he had 0 fear on the floor tonight, which is good.
Yeah, and it just felt like, I think, very refreshing to have him out there. I think, like, one of the things that really worked for him in this game was just the fact that, like, he not only was just making everything flow, but, like, the ball just moved better when he was out there. Like, it snaps a little bit better. I can't explain, like, why that's the case. I can't explain, like, why, like, the Cavs maybe, like, haven't deviated too much from sort of what they were planning to do in their, like, bubble workouts and stuff to kind of cater to a different roster and stuff. Maybe, like, there's some questions I would have there, but I look at what he did in this, and I look at what he kind of provided. And like the offense looked like as good as it has with him on, all season with him on the floor, and that's like a really positive sign. I'm going to see if I can pull up if they have the offensive rating for the first half. So the Cavs in the first half did not have their offensive rating in here, unfortunately, on this first half breakdown on this stats page we have access to from the Cavs. But I would imagine that it was much better. I should have checked cleaning the glass at halftime. That's just me being lazy, but I imagine it looked better. And this is a team that has the worst offense in the league by like a full point per inter possession. So kudos to Cleveland for, you know, at least having a more functional offense when Kevin's around. That's a step forward.
No, I absolutely agree. And just, you know, we were kind of joking about Kevin Love being a copy-paste of Dean Wade, but Dean Wade's my MVP pick for the other option as well. I mean, Isaiah Hartenstein, Tower Kraut, whatever we want to call him, like, he had a good game as well. He had 12.7 boards, 2 blocks off the bench in less than 20 minutes. But Dean Wade, again and again, is proving that he's a good player. He's a competent player for the Cavs. He had 16 points on 6 of 14 shooting, 3-11 from 3. He's a stationary 3-point shooter, but he also had 8 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal. Like, Dean Wade's a good player. And credit where credit's due to Kobe Altman and his staff. I think they do have an eye for talent and their player development staff and developing so many undrafted free agents with, like, Dean Wade, Lamar Stevens, and Roger Thomas getting meaningful minutes at times for Cleveland and, like, them not looking completely lost like some G League players have hit in the past for the Cavs. Like, this is just a good pickup for Cleveland, and I think Dean Wade is carving out a place in this rotation if this Cavs team ever becomes fully healthy again.
Yeah, even if he's like your fourth big next season, like I'm in on him as that kind of player. All right, Evan, so stat of the night, let's do that one next. You have one. What is yours?
My stat of the night is the fact that Cleveland had 34 makes and they had 26 assists. At halftime, it was 19 assists and 20 makes, so they kind of deviated a little bit from that. I mean, part of that is probably garbage minutes as well, where the Cavs probably started playing one-on-one ball as well, but at least in the first half, that offense was really humming for Cleveland, and you could tell, like, the only non-assisted bucket was a Colin Sexton isolation play, and, like, I'll gladly take that any day of the week. And, like, the ball was moving, it had energy to it, and the Cavs looked really sharp in the first half, and I'm like, okay, they're actually hanging with this. Like, there might be a little bit of echo. I'm recording this at my girlfriend's place, and she was watching the game with me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, no, this is actually, they're playing the best team in the East, and they're
sick.
Really sharp.
I have a girlfriend brag there, my guy. Sick brag.
Chris, you talk about your wife all the time, so.
And it's true. Look, this was fun for me at the beginning of this episode before it's a recording. You were getting in trouble or getting made fun of when I'm normally getting made fun of, and it was a good role reversal. I felt good about it.
Listen, I suppressed the woman who keeps me in check, Wes, like Leanne keeps you in check for as long as I could, but we'll see if she ever makes her episode debut. But the Mario Kart queen can hold her title to then. So, yeah, no, the Cavs, at least in the first half, had the ball moving really well. And that's encouraging to see, especially with how anemic this offense could be at times. And hopefully it's just an interesting wrinkle in development that kind of continues. Like, Hartenstein had 1 assist versus his almost 10 assists the other night. So I knew that was probably a bit of an anomaly. And he also didn't get to play as much with Kevin starting at center for Cleveland. But yeah, that's my stat of the night pick. What's yours?
Yeah, mine is just the fact that this is a team that played overall a little bit better. But I want to shout out one specific thing that I thought was notable, and that's Colin Sexton took 9 free throws. This wasn't the best Colin Sexton game. It felt a little funky. Like, it just felt like he was, like, in and out of it a little bit in terms of, like, the second half was much more his sort of normal stuff versus the first half when he felt invisible for large chunks of it, I felt like. But him getting to the line 9 times, almost close to half of the Cavs' free throw attempts, and making all 9 of them is just kind of like what you kind of want from him in terms of dialing up that efficiency. He was very aggressive in getting in the lane, and I want to shout that out for Colin because he had a kind of weird game, but that was really, I thought, a standout thing for him. All right, Evan, play of the night. What is yours?
My play of the night pick is Darius Garland's pass to Isaac Okoro that results in an easy bucket. Like I said, it was in the first half. Like, the Cleveland's offense was just humming, and Darius had, let me look at this real quick. He had 8 assists on the night in total. Like, that's encouraging despite his scoring struggles. Like, he was still a big part of this offense for Cleveland and was key in that regard at least. And I mean, Okoro has also struggled offensively as well. So to get him involved in the offense is a good play for me in my book. And what's your pick?
Mine is a pretty simple thing, and it's another Colin Sexton thing because I'm just leaning into it tonight, I guess. Isaiah Hartenstein, I think it's Stein. I don't know. Who knows?
Tower Kraut. We got to get the T-shirt deal, so we got to start calling him that.
All right, so third quarter, 5:30 to go. Sexton backcuts, and Isaiah Tower Crap throws a backdoor pass to Sexton Cutting, and Sexton scores. I just, like, want more Sexton Cutting. It's a nice diversification of the offense, and I'm just all in on that. I also just want to shout out the beginning of the game, the Cavs' first bucket. Isaac Okoro got an and-one on Ben Simmons.
Yeah, no, actually, shouts to Isaac and shouts to the Cavs in general. Like, Ben Simmons didn't have a good night. He was 2-11 from the floor, and I think the Cavs played really good defense on him. And, like, I had a fear Ben Simmons was going to eviscerate Sexton and Garland, and no, he was kind of a non-factor for Cleveland. I know he had 13 boards, 5 assists, but those 5 points on 2 of 11 shooting is impressive, and Isaac really stepped up to the task.
Before we go to break, Evan, let's just hit real quick on Jetty Osmond. Returned to the rotation after a 2-game absence where he was riding the pine. You know, again, not the crazy night for him. 19 minutes, 2 of 4 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line. Had an assist, had a rebound, had one chase down block on his countryman, Furkan Korkmaz. 6 points for him. His chase down, frankly, was one of my, you know, close subs for play of the night because he just kind of sprinted it down and made it happen. But this was a much better Jetty game than we've seen in quite a long time. He played with some effort. He got into a defensive stance. He was, like, not just launching shots. Like, he had a really nice lob, pushing the ball down the floor. Like, kind of good minutes from Jetty in a way that you would maybe think, okay, like, let's roll this up a little bit with him again.
No, I absolutely agree. Like, this is what I was kind of talking about with Jetty. Like, you keep a short leash on him. He had one really bad shot, and John Michael called it 9-1-1 triple, so it was just a bad offensive possession in general for the Cavs, but Jetty was really, like, taking the air out of the ball, too. But he was 2-4 from the floor. Like you said, that chase down block was really a great play on his part. That's a good pick as well. But, no, this is an all right Jetty game. This is kind of what I expect from him. Maybe a little bit better shooting numbers, but if he's not feeling it, you don't play him a lot of minutes, and that's A-okay. Like, Isaac isn't the most well-rounded offensive player yet, but I'd rather stick with him because he's a lot more steady, at least defensively, than Jetty is.
Yeah. All right, Evan, let's go into some breaks. It's time to pay some bills here. Why don't you tell everyone about two of our great sponsors?
Of course. Do you want diamond hands, and do you want to take some players to the moon? And you can do that with our friends at Sport Trade. It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market, and it's amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is as simple as player value rises and falls based on 2 factors. 1. Their statistical performance in each game is compared to the projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. 2. Good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market, and then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up at Sport Trade today and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. Let me also tell you about a quick word from our friends at Rock Auto. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody else and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So, go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about this?" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at RockAuto.com.
Let me also tell you about the Locked On Today podcast. The Locked On Today podcast gives you all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, you get the updates and the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, Evan, let's talk about Kevin Love. So he comes back, the offense moves, it looks good. What did you like about what you saw from him? Starting up front, we should note, as people probably know, with Dean Wade up front.
I would say that love is all the Cavs need. There's plenty of puns you can make with Kevin coming back, but it's something I stressed in the first segment as well. Cleveland has made it fundamentally clear that they want to run their offense to their big players, i.e. Kevin Love and Larry Nance Jr. And I think fans, and myself included, got a good taste of that because they make Kevin the primary focus as a shooter. They get opposing teams to respect him on the defensive side of the floor, so they have to close out on him when he's on the perimeter or he's facilitating at the elbow. And that creates looks because Kevin Love is a competent passer as well. I saw him a few times. He was looking to make a home run pass or a home run play, and he had like an awesome backdoor cut pass to Darius Garland, and Ben Simmons broke, or either Ben Simmons or Seth Curry broke that play up. And Kevin's just a really smart, cerebral, crafty player. I don't know how much longer he has left in Cleveland, but might as well maximize his value while he can here, and maybe the Cavs can trade him this offseason and then figure it out from there. But also, he just unlocks the Cavs' offense, and he was just a lot of fun tonight. And like I said, I'm not too worried about this loss. In the grand scheme of things, it helps the Cavs more than anything because they shouldn't be trying to make the playoffs. They should be trying for the NBA draft, and we'll be talking about a prospect in the final segment that really intrigues me. But Kevin just makes this team more fun and more competent offensively, so they look less like an 80s basketball team and more like a modern basketball team.
Yeah, I have quibbles if like your plan was continually to kind of run everything through the guys you sort of had and like not change anything. Like I understand they kind of went into that bubble and were like, we're gonna get a lot of this on film, we're gonna make this work, and then you don't sort of adjust as much, and you got some work to do. But like, I do think that this is a team that clearly is just gonna benefit from having Kevin Love back. It's gonna get it has Kevin back. He's gonna move the basketball. He's going to shoot a bunch of threes. He's going to loosen things up, and it's going to take pressure off of everyone, right? Like, it is going to take pressure off of Darius Garland to like do all of the creating, right? And for Colin, it's going to take Colin. There's going to be an adjustment period for Colin. I'm pretty sure that's the case, but like, it's going to give him time to not have to do everything. It's going to make him a little more comfortable in certain sets, right? Like, it's going to give him opportunity to do some stuff off ball and really kind of round out his game and become a little more of a diverse scorer. That is ultimately good for Cleveland. And look, the Cavs, like, you can cite stats about how Sexton and Garland make the offense better together compared to the rest of the team, that how, you know, like, Dean Wade's shooting helps, whatever. Let's just be blunt about it. The Cavs' offense sucks. Worst in the league this year.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's the worst in the league by a full point, according to Clean of the Glass, which takes out any, like, blowout possession. So it's, like, really, like, when the games are sort of competitive, it's by a full point worse than, I think, OKC. It's been bad over the last 2 weeks. There's been some stretches where you kind of feel good about it. But when the Cavs win games, like, it is mostly them sort of kind of, like, mucking together, like, kind of a fluky good offensive performance, and then you go from there. And, like, I don't mean to be harsh, but I also just think like that's what happens when you're under talented all year, when you're ravaged by injuries, when you have a bunch of weird stuff, when you had Drummond, you made the tactical decision to run post-ups through him, and I don't think you got not a lot out of that. Like, there are just things they did strategically that didn't work. And I think when you look at them now, when you look at what they're doing with Kevin, I think when he's going to be on the floor and he's going to be doing Kevin Love stuff, it's going to make everything better and it's going to help the development. And I think that'll give you a better idea of like what you can expect a little bit if you have a better infrastructure. Look, I still think, depending on like the price, if I'm Cleveland, like maybe he says, hey, I want to go, and it's time, and you figure something out in the offseason. You know, when there's the less amount of time on that contract is going to change things on that. But I think if you look at him and you can say, hey, we're going to try to make the play-in tournament, we're going to try to be competitive, you know, we want to maximize you, all this stuff, I think you like there's still a lot of value Kevin Love can provide. And I think that the minutes he played in this game are pretty proof of that. And I think, like, I'm excited to see him and Jared Allen play together. Like, I'm excited I'm excited to see him, like, do stuff with this core that we haven't got to see yet.
No, that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is Kevin Love and Jared Allen playing together. That's, like, going to be really exciting just in general, because it was evident at times. I think if the Cavs did have Jared Allen, they'd be a little less overwhelmed sometimes with Philly's size. I think that was a huge factor. And then, like, having Jared Allen isn't going to fix the perimeter shooting or perimeter defense issues the Cavs have. But it's just a wrinkle I really want to get more familiar with when it comes to this Cavs offense. And, like, I know at first there were some bumps between Larry and Jared, but, like, that partnership was starting to work a little bit. But I think Kevin is, like, the perfect player to pair alongside Jared, because Kevin's a stretch four. Jared is a rim-running traditional five in a sense, and like you said, he also unlocks the rest of the offense for the younger players, whether it's Isaac or Darius or Colin. Like, Kevin Love just makes this team better. But I want to ask you this. How long do you think his minute limit is going to be, and do you think it's going to be at 20 minutes for a while? Because I got the vibe that it's going to be 20 minutes for a while, and we might see some, like, fun offense in the first half, a little bit in the second half, and then he's shut down for the rest of the game, and it's going to be, like, this recipe against Philly is going to be the formula for a while for Cleveland, unless it's, like, a back-to-back and they don't play him.
I would do 20 minutes the rest of the season.
I would, too.
Why risk it? Why push it? Why make anything more complicated out of this than you need to, you know? Like, getting Kevin Love healthy and, like, ready to go into a more normal offseason – and while also like getting him charming the court, like I was seeing clips of his post game as we're recording, and he was talking about how happy it made him to play basketball right now. Like, let's get that and get the team sort of some reps and like get into the off season with some momentum. Like that to me is sort of more important than anything else. And just keep him healthy. Like I think like if he can just finish the year healthy and finish the year with some momentum, I know people will say momentum is not real, all this stuff, but like I think if you can just finish the year with some good vibes, I'm in on that. I'm really, really in on that.
Yeah, momentum may not be real, but it's real for Kevin Love right now. The Cavs need some momentum with him because he's hardly played this season. He's hardly played last season. He's hardly played since LeBron left. Like, you need something to build off of with him, especially if he's not going to be as movable as I fear he is not going to be. You got to make it work somehow.
Yeah, I also just think, like, my therapist thinks momentum's real. Little victories are real. This is a little victory. Shouts to my therapist.
Yeah. Shouts to your therapist. It is, for sure, like, that's a real thing. Look, I'm not trying to downplay you.
We're just making jokes here, but it's like, Kevin is good for everyone in the team if he's healthy and engaged. He just is. And that's inextricable fact. I'll be curious to see what the rotation also looks like when everyone is back. Like, when Larry and Jared are back. Because here, this would be the locks to me. Sexland, Okoro, Kevin Love, Larry Nance, Jared Allen. Dean Wade, I think, has very much played himself into, like, you should get him at least, like, 15 minutes a night.
What about Lamar?
I would rather see Lamar than,
Roger Thomas, for sure.
Well, I would almost rather see Lamar than Torian Prince.
Torian Prince has been kind of stinky since he's come to Cleveland, and I know like we can't tweet that because he looks up his own name and we'll maybe say that, but
he had an injury too. Like, whatever. I would just more interested in the younger guys, and like maybe you buy out Prince in the offseason. Like, let him go somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And or I don't know, he'll be on an expiring $13 million contract, which is still wild. He got that much money to begin with, but alas, the Nets were an interesting, because I think that was a contract he signed with Brooklyn. I don't think he was traded there from Atlanta.
So. Brooklyn pre this super team handed out some really
wild deals. That was their MO though, was to try and throw poison pill contracts on the other team. Like Tyler Johnson was one thing that might bite the bullet on. Like that's a big one I always remember. But I think the Cavs might try to do the same thing once they have some cap space. It's like, okay, let's throw some serious money at some RFAs, and then either the team matches it or we get a player that might be a little bit too high of a cost, but that's the price you have to pay when you're a bad team. So it's an interesting strategy, but I don't know if I'm okay with it because it would give me agita every time I have to look at their cap sheet.
Duncan Robinson would be the guy I do that for. Okay, we're going to take a break here, but first I want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. So we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. And Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. And now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Evan, today's matchup is the grand finale. It's cookie dough chunk versus coconut brownie chunk. Are we on the same side here, or are we on opposite sides of this throwdown?
I think I am Iron Man and you're Captain America, because you're going to call me a cop if I call you Captain America or Iron
War
Man.
War criminal Tony Stark, okay?
This is the second Civil War, not the first one, which is what the movie's based on, what my original tweet was based on when I called you that. But I'm going to go with cookie dough chunk here. Like, such a good flavor. For those of you who know, maybe like Chris and I, when you're playing middle school football, you have those crappy two-a-day practices in that August Ohio heat, and you're just dying, and then you forget, like, you don't have enough snacks, because Chris and I both used to be thick boys, too. You're handed a cookie dough power bar. It is one of the worst things you can eat. Built Bar fixed the formula. They fixed the formula on a lot of flavors, and cookie dough knocked out my tried and true, my second love of my life, cookies and cream. So I have the ride of the winner here, and I'm taking them all the way to the end.
I don't think you're even wrong, but it's coconut brownie chunk for me. That's just perfect. Perfect protein bar.
I hope everyone heard that. Just real quick, like, for the folks at home, just so everyone heard it, like, Chris said I wasn't wrong. Just another tally book and tally in my book for the day.
Evan, you're a king. You're the best. Go to BuiltBar.com or to Built_bar on Twitter to follow along. And remember, if you want to try Built Bars, then why wouldn't you? Remember to use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Also want to tell you about our friends at BetOnline, the official betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive our 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for that welcome bonus.
Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA Draft with the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and a full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, probably the same place you find Locked On Cavs.
All right, last segment here, Evan. We're going to talk about Jalen Green. We're going to do some draft stuff going forward here a little bit. We'll obviously focus more on that as we get deeper into the late of the season, so to speak. But where we're at in the draft now is we're going to talk about it a little bit here and there. I'm starting to look at some guys and sort of evaluate them and watch and sort of at least have some informed takes before we dive into this full on. But what is your Jalen Green take at this moment in time?
I know Kevin Porter Jr. hasn't been shooting great for the Rockets. I think he's like 23% from three right now, and his true shooting percentages are abysmal. But the Cavs do need a type of creator like that on their team. Like, it's clear that this Cavs team would be a lot more fun to watch with Kevin Porter Jr. playing, and like, he is a key young cog in this rebuilding machine that they're trying to construct here. And I think Jalen Green is a player that reminds me a lot of Kevin Porter Jr. when I've broken down some of his footage and just watched a lot of him play. He's electric. He's a fluid ball handler. He's crafty at the rim. He has a couple lumps. He has playmaking potential, but he's streaky as a shooter, and he does have some defensive limits as well. But I think he'd be a fun pickup for the Cavs, and between him and Kuminga, like, you can't go wrong, but the G League Ignite program has two feathers to put pin in their cap, and especially if these two get drafted high. But I don't know. It just, like, Kevin O'Connor has shades of Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, and Malik Monk. Like, I think LaVine is his reasonable outcome, Bradley Beal is his peak, and Malik Monk is his valley. Like, that's a pretty damn good player for the Cavs to get it. Like, let's say they don't get first, it's like third through fifth or sixth. Like, if they can land a Jalen Green, they're in a pretty good place.
Where would he be on your Cavs specific board right now?
Well, my Cavs specific board is Cade Cunningham 1, Evan Mobley 2. It's a toss-up. It's 3A, 3B between Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga. And then after that, I am actually pretty high on Moses Moody, Franz Wagner. I do not like Corey Kispert at all. Keon Johnson also kind of intrigues me as well. And Jalen Suggs is really good for Gonzaga, and I think it'd be remiss at Cleveland not to consider him as well if they go BPA. And we talked about this with Ashley Bastock the other day. The Cavs really can't be too particular with players right now. And let's say Jalen Suggs is the BPA, you go with him. How about you? Where do you have Green at?
He's 3 or 4 on a Cavs specific board for me. If they don't get, if Cade is like the thing that I think changes everything pretty cleanly, like we've talked about that a lot. Mobley, I think, has a potential to be that, but I would, it'd be interesting to see how the Cavs approach that if they're in position to pick him. I gotta read more into Kuminga, but we'll see, and we'll see about Green too. I think the thing that would be interesting about him is how do they feel about him and his playmaking upside, because let's say LaVine is like the right kind of player for him, that means you're going to need like pick and pop. That's where Kevin Love, like, frankly, that would be super valuable for a guy like Jalen Green, just to help him make easy reads.
That's
like,
why the Bulls went out and got Vucevic, because he pairs perfectly with Zach LaVine.
That would be really fascinating if they go that route. And I think it would, you know, it would be interesting to see how they would deploy him, Garland, and Sexton together. I think with any of these picks, you have some interesting roster construction decisions that'll come via training camp next year, if not sooner. It's just inevitable, and I think that that's necessary. That's part of roster building. That's part of continual stuff. But it is very interesting to think about how that would happen. But Green like getting covered by a core defensively, and then like helped with playmaking by who else the Cavs have, could be kind of interesting for him in terms of a good starting point for him in his NBA career. I kind of like that fit for him. I find myself very intrigued, Evan, by a lot of the guys, like Cade and stuff, obviously, but like you mentioned Moody, you mentioned Wagner, you get in the Zaire Williams, who I know is like, he's like very low on some boards, but he's like 8 on the ESPN board.
Scotty Barnes would be fun Schmitz. Too.
Yeah, I'm a little psyched out by like another big wing who can't shoot. Like that's like not a market inefficiency that I'm like super in on, like crowding in, you know, like that's just, I don't know if how like do you want to still score like 101 points per 100 possessions, like is that your identity? Like you're not going to win games that way. But
Chris, Cleveland is a blue collar city where people take a lunch pail to work. They pick themselves up by their bootstraps. The billionaires of this city roll up their sleeves when they get to work. That's how serious Cleveland is. Scotty Barnes would fit that MO. I'm not sure, but hey.
Moses Moody's also pretty fun.
Yeah, Moses Moody's pretty fun. He has a lot of potential. I think March Madness didn't do him a lot of favors. You actually talked about him with Jackson today on Locker Room. And if you want to join us, download the Locker Room app if you're an iOS member. I think this Android issues are being sorted out still, but they should be able to join us soon. And come chat with us every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. with lunch with Locked On Cavs. But Moses Moody is a player that has kind of intrigued me a little bit because he has the size to play the four if he bulks up. But he's 6'8", has a pretty long wingspan. He is a good defender. Like, he has shooting potential as well. I just think he needs to bulk up a little bit. But he would be a fun option if the Cavs do slide in this draft. And that could be a realistic possibility because their schedule does lighten up at the end of the season.
As we get out of here, I just want to point out this out. Friend of the program, Jordan Zerm, just is watching TNT, I guess, and he said the best – Dwayne, this is a quote from Dwayne Wade. The best way to ever play in Cleveland, Dean Wade.
Well, there you go, folks. It's an emphatic Dean Wade. Get that max contract. Get that bag. Switch your number to 3. Shoot your shot. Make that statement. I know you were 32 in college, but it's time, my man.
Well, it'd be 9. He'd need to take 9 if he wanted to take the D Wade number.
Dwayne Wade didn't take 3 was because Isaiah Thomas was here first, and Isaiah Thomas is already enough of a problem child.
What an era of Cavs basketball, you know?
It's only like 3 years ago. That's the weirdest part.
It feels about like 7 years have passed since then.
Yeah, it really does. But Chris, why don't you tell the fun folks?
Jalen Green 3 years ago was 16 years old. Like, he was just learning how to drive.
Jalen Green's favorite player is probably LeBron, so he already gets us to begin with. Like, I feel like every kid that the Cavs draft at this point saying my favorite player is LeBron, so the gets us factor is through the roof.
I want to just be like, my favorite player is Kyrie, just to see how people like react on Twitter.
There's nothing wrong with that, but people just need to grow up. But that's a story for another day.
All right, that's going to be it, though. Find us on Twitter at Locked On Cavs. Evan's at AmNotEvan. I'm at CDubin. Right, check us out on Locker Room every week. We'll be back on Monday with more stuff. The Cavs play in Miami against the Heat and Jimmy Butler and Victor Oladipo on Saturday. So we'll talk about that either Sunday or first thing Monday, and a whole bunch of more stuff coming down the pipeline from us. Check us out on WKYC as well. But for Evan, for myself, it's been Locked On Cavs for Friday, April 2nd. Have a happy, hoppy Easter, everyone. don't play... if you're playing Animal Crossing, don't deal with Bunny Day, and we'll talk to you next week. Locked On Cavs is your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast covering the latest news, rumors, and game action from the Wine and Gold.
You can follow us on social at Locked On Cavs or give us a call and leave a voicemail, and we'll answer your questions live at 440-673-3605.
If you want to contact the show, email us at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is by going to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It's produced and hosted by Chris Manning and Evan Damrell.